British Sky Broadcasting presents Liar Liar, a Universal Pictures and Imagine Entertainment presentation, voiced by Tim Bruce on behalf of MCS Agency. Starring Jim Carrey as Fletcher Reed, Maura Tierney as Audrey Reed, Jennifer Tilly as Samantha Cole, Swoozie Kurtz as Dana Appleton, Amanda Donahoe as Miranda, Jason Bernard as Judge Marshall Stevens, Mitchell Ryan as Mr. Allen, Anne Haney as Greta, Justin Cooper as Max Reed, and Cary Elwes as Jerry. Written by Paul Guay and Stephen Mazza, directed by Tom Shadiak. A larger-than-life junior school teacher addresses her class.
W O R K Work. Today, we're going to share what our parents do for
work.
My mommy is a doctor.
My dad is a truck driver.
My mom's a teacher.
And your dad?
My dad? He's a liar.
A liar? Oh, I'm sure you don't mean a liar.
Well, he wears a suit and goes to court and talks to the judge.
Oh, I see. You mean he's a lawyer.
The boy shrugs. Meanwhile, a smug lawyer strides down courthouse steps.
Hey, Fletcher, how'd it go there?
Just another victory for the wrongly accused.
Yeah, right.
Mr. Reed, great job. Said, do you want your coat back?
I'm sure you'll be needing it again.
Mr. Reed, do you have a moment?
I'm sorry, I'm very late. It's my day to be with my son.
A couple of reporters want to talk to you about your big win today.
Oh, yeah? How's my hair?
Fabulous. You look great.
The boy sits with his mother on a step outside their suburban front door. The boy gasps with false hope as a car zooms past in the road.
What time is it?
I am sure your dad just got held up in court again.
As the boy props up his head with his hand, the smug lawyer shows up in a sports convertible.
Dad!
Maximilian!
The boy runs to greet him.
Hey, how you doing, Creed?
Good.
Oh,
me too. Except my arm has really been bothering me.
Oh, no, Dad.
Oh, yeah. It's becoming the Claw! Nothing can stop the Claw! Run, boy, run! Save yourself!
Do the Claw to Mom, Dad! Do the Claw to Mom!
Uh-oh. You found the Claw's only weakness. Sub-zero temperatures!
So, did you have any trouble finding the place?
Okay, I'm late. I'm sorry. I ran out of gas. The gauge is broken or something. Rough neighborhood, too. It's a good thing I was wearing neutral gang colors. I might have had to pull out my nine and bust a cap.
With my mind on my money, on my money, on my mind.
Well, they would never hurt you, Fletcher. You're their lawyer.
Oh, that was below the belt. Try to keep the gloves up.
Mom, Dad's taking me to see wrestling.
Fletcher.
Audrey?
Well, why do you have to take him to see that stuff? It's very violent.
The boy must grow to be a warrior.
Who better to guide him than Rick Rude and Randy Macho Man Savage in the case of death?
Good.
Jerry, how's it going?
Hey, Gipper! Look at you. You look like you grow by the minute.
Fletcher, pleasure to see you. Hi, honey.
Hi.
Jerry kisses her.
Wow. That was a nice image. Deleted.
Oh. I have some more boxes for you.
Oh, you're an angel. Boxes?
Yeah. Remember, I told you a few weeks ago, Jerry's moving to Boston on Friday.
Oh, right. The job, the thing, the... What do you do again? Hospital administrator? Right, right.
Well, the boxes are in my car.
Oh, those can wait. I made this young man a promise, didn't I?
A baseball.
Got time to throw a few?
Sure.
Come on, then. Ha ha ha. I forgot the boyfriend was moving.
Jerry. His name is Jerry. And yes, he's moving.
I'm sorry. I hated him a lot less than your other boyfriends. It wasn't serious, was it?
Semi-serious, yes.
You guys aren't, you know...
I've been dating him for 7 months. What do you think?
Really? Ooh! I was hoping after being married to me, you'd have no more strength left.
Well, you have to remember that when we were married, I wasn't having sex nearly as often as you were.
Ouch! And the ref takes a point away.
Yeah!
Out, out, and out!
Yeah! Woo!
Max is gonna miss him.
I'll be here.
She walks dismissively away.
Yeah! My ball!
Max! Come on, we gotta go.
Are we really going to wrestling?
Absolutely, Max Factor. We just have to stop by the office for 1 minute.
Excuse me, sir. Any spare change?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm all out.
I can't do it.
Fred, it's your duty to present the strongest case possible.
The strongest case possible, consistent with the truth.
Well, you let the judge decide what's true. That's what he gets paid for. You get paid to win.
If you insist that I take it to trial, I will represent Mrs. Cole aggressively and ethically. But Miranda, I won't lie.
Then we'll just have to find someone who will.
Fletcher arrives at work with Max.
21st floor, menswear.
A goofy receptionist with a spiky hairdo.
Hi, Mr. Reed.
Whoa, hey. Did you do something to your hair?
It's a bit extreme, isn't it?
No, I mean, That's a thing nowadays, right?
Well, he said it would accent my facial features.
Well, that's what it does. It completely accents your facial features. We're just gonna go down to my office now.
An obese work colleague.
Hey, Fletcher. Hey, Pete. You losing a little weight?
I don't know. Maybe.
Looks and personality. A double threat guy.
Hey, Mr. Reed.
Hey, man.
It's Randy.
Yeah, I know. Taking lunch orders, Mr. Reed. Anything?
No, thanks. I had so much for breakfast, I'm just about ready to pop. I mean, I'm full.
Okay. Great.
Beyond the pimply man, they approach his secretary.
Max!
Hi, Greta.
Hey, what's new?
Well, it's my birthday tomorrow, and we're having a party and everything.
Wow! I am sure that your daddy has got you something wonderful.
Yeah?
Yeah, you bet! Listen, kiddo, why don't you go play in my office with me? Sue somebody for everything they got. Maybe you can send a fax to one of your girlfriends. Hey, sorry.
Damn it!
I completely forgot.
Oh, what a surprise.
You are a saint. I should buy you a gift.
You did.
I always do the classy thing. Any calls?
Judge Rawlings' clerk, he needs your filing.
Tell him it's in the mail.
Right, she'll do it next week. Mr. McKinley phoned to confirm your meeting tomorrow.
Strep throat. No, some kind of virus. What's going around?
Asian flu.
Good one.
And your mother called.
I'm on vacation.
It's your fifth week.
Snowed in. Phones are down.
Break mother's heart. Done. No, that's it. Except Miranda's looking for you.
Ah, how much ass do I have to kiss to make partner in this damn place? Tell her I broke my leg and I had to be shot.
Why don't you tell her yourself?
And then send out a notice of judgment on my win today.
I'll get right on it.
Miranda! Hey, I didn't see you. You look beautiful today. Here, I bought you a gift.
Oh, thanks. I heard about your victory. Congratulations. You know, you're making quite an impression on the partnership committee.
Oh, that's right. You folks are meeting again soon. I've just been keeping myself so busy, I haven't even thought about it. Anyway, I have a client in my office. Better not keep him waiting.
Actually, Fletcher, something rather important's just come up. You're not busy tonight, are you?
Fletcher bursts into his office with a box of files under each arm. Max watches glumly.
We're not going, are we?
Later, in a classy restaurant across town, Jerry and Audrey sit at a cozy table for two. Audrey twirls spaghetti around her fork.
Audrey,
mm-hmm.
You know how there are moments in life that you know are critical?
Mm-hmm.
And choices that have to be made upon which all one's future happiness will depend?
Mm-hmm.
This is one of those moments.
What are you trying to say?
Will you marry me?
She sucks in a strand of spaghetti.
You're moving.
I know, I'm moving to Boston, but I want you and Max to come with me. Audrey, I've been giving this a lot of thought, and you know I'm not prone to wild, spontaneous flights of romantic fancy. But the thought of you and I together just makes too much sense to ignore. Now I'm ready, I think you're ready. I love Max, you love Max. It's right, it fits. So what do you say?
Early the next morning, Fletcher is still hacking at his computer. As he rubs his tired eyes, Max appears in his pajamas.
Hey, Creepy! Happy birthday. How old are you now? 22, 23?
I'm 5, Dad.
Okay. Return the beer keg. Cancel the dancing girls. I don't know what I'm gonna do. I feel completely unprepared for this. You see, I bought you a present, but last night, I accidentally swallowed it.
Dad, it's in your belly!
Scalpel.
I hope it's not partially digested. Oh, look out! Cool.
What is it?
It's a surprise. All right, it's a pony. Just open it! I'm gonna help, because I can't stand it!
Baseball stuff!
Baseball stuff!
Cool! Can we play? I'll be Nomo. You can be Jose Canseco. Can we play, Dad? Can we play?
Absolutely!
Yay!
Right after your party tonight, we'll do it. You and me. I just have to really concentrate on this right now.
As Fletcher returns to his computer, a crestfallen Max pulls off his baseball hat and gloves, slips them back into the box, takes one last look at his dad absorbed in his work, and leaves the room. Later, Audrey and Jerry arrive at Fletcher's apartment block to pick up Max. Max and Fletcher wait outside.
Hi.
Hey! Happy birthday.
Thanks, Mom.
Happy birthday, Max! 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and one for good luck.
He struck the child. Did you see that?
Look at what Dad got me.
Whoa, great. Hey, you know what? I have my glove in the car. Maybe we can stop at the park on the way home and play catch. And then tonight we can rub oil in it and wrap a big rubber band around it. It'll be great. Hey, great gift, Dad.
Thanks, son. I'm so glad my gift could bring those two together. My plan to phase myself out is almost complete.
Something's come up, and we need to talk.
Come on, Mom, I want to go play!
And actually, it's kind of important, so maybe we could talk tonight?
Tonight?
Yes, Max's birthday party.
Oh, yeah, sure, of course. We'll talk then, great.
Maximus, I'm out of here.
Bye, Dad.
Jerry, enjoy my wife. Huh?
Fletcher's face turns sour as he enters. Later, Miranda and Fletcher look on as a glamorous client considers some papers.
Well, this is good. This is really smart.
Thank you.
Only, well, it's not true. I mean, does that present a problem?
Mrs. Cole, the only problem here is that after you've provided years of faithful service and loving support of raising his children, they are his.
Huh? Oh, yeah. Yeah, one for sure.
After all that, your husband wants to deny you a fair share of the marital assets based on one single act of indiscretion.
Seven.
Pardon me?
Seven single acts of indiscretion.
Seven acts of indiscretion, only one of which he has any evidence of, and all of which he himself is responsible for.
Yes?
Mrs. Cole, you're the victim here. The wife of a cold, distant workaholic, starved for affection, driven into the arms of another man.
Seven.
Yeah, whatever. You're not trying to deny him what is rightfully his. All you're insisting on is what is rightfully yours.
Yeah.
And maybe a fraction more. I think you're bending over backwards.
Yeah. Well, I did offer to give him joint custody of the kids. He is, after all, a wonderful father.
And how does he repay you? By dragging you through a painful litigation process. No, 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 no! This can't happen! With all due respect, this isn't about you and Mr. Cole anymore. This is about all women. Where would Tina Turner be right now if she'd rolled over and said, "Hit me again, Ike, and put some stank on it!" Rolling on the river, that's where she'd be. But she's beyond Thunderdome, because she decided to send a message. Wake up, sisters! There's no such thing as a weaker sex!
You know what? You're right, Mr. Reed. I am tired of getting kicked around.
Good for you.
Thank you. I am so grateful I have an attorney I can trust.
Mrs. Cole squeezes his bottom and minces out of the door in her high heels.
Oh, you are good. You are very, very good. You know, the Cole case is worth a truckload of money to this firm. If you win, I guarantee you'll make partner. In fact, how would you like to make a partner right now?
Hmm? Oh, I don't know. I mean, I should...
Miranda drags him along by his bottom lip. Meanwhile, a clown performs at Max's party.
Happy, 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 happy. I'm so happy today.
Jerry to Audrey.
So, honey, have you thought about, you know, what we talked about?
Yeah.
Great.
I can't go.
What? Why not?
Well, because of Max.
Oh, but he'll love it there. I'm gonna take him to Fenway Park. There's hiking and camping and
Well, really, it's Fletcher.
Fletcher? I mean, come on, honey. He wouldn't even come over unless you reminded him.
Well, I know, but when he does come over, Max is so happy. I mean, it's like they have their own little world together.
Well, the Gipper and I have that, too.
Well, I know, but it's different.
How?
Well, he does the claw.
The what?
The claw. You know, it's like this... I don't... Run for your life. The claw! The claw!
Jerry looks bemused.
Well, I can't really do it that good. Anyway, that's not the point. The point is, they're 3,000 miles apart. They're never going to see each other. I mean, Fletcher's never going to come to Boston.
Miranda undresses him as he speaks.
Hello?
Audrey?
Fletcher, where are you? We're waiting for you. Max won't cut the cake until you get here.
Oh, man! Actually, something has come up. I've got this problem on a new... Hayes!
What happened?
Nothing! I stubbed my toe on the desk. Listen, I'm really sorry, but I just can't make it. The boss is, really riding me.
Fletcher, it's his birthday.
I know. I'll make it up to him, I promise. I'll pick him up from school tomorrow, okay?
You're gonna pick him up?
Yes!
All right, well, hold on a minute. I'll get him. You can say happy birthday.
No, gotta go! Goodbye.
Hello.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Max. Happy birthday to you.
Okay, birthday boy. Make a wish. Come on, Max. It can be anything you want, anything in the whole world.
Max props up his head with his hands and stares glumly at the 5 candles on his baseball pitch cake. When nothing happens, his mum crouches by his side.
Max, your father is sorry. He had to work.
He said he was gonna be here, he promised.
I know, but he promises that he's gonna see you tomorrow. Okay? He's gonna pick you up from school. All right? So come on. Make a wish.
Audrey rejoins Jerry, who slips a protective arm around her. Max thinks long and hard before making his wish.
I wish that for only one day Dad couldn't tell a lie.
An eerie wind blows through the curtains as 5 trails of candle smoke reach upwards like swirling incense. A grandfather clock shows 8:15. Meanwhile, across town, Fletcher and Miranda recline on an office floor strewn with discarded clothes.
That was incredible. Is it good for you?
I've had better.
Miranda throws him out of her office and disdainfully pelts him with his clothes.
I've had better.
Waking the next morning,
I've had better.
Brushing his teeth while looking in the mirror.
I've had better.
Later that morning, Fletcher chuckles to himself as he waits for the apartment block lift. The lift doors open to reveal a busty beauty in a low-cut top, eagerly clutching at her attaché case.
Hi.
Hi.
New in the building?
Yeah, I just moved in Monday.
Oh. You like it so far?
Mm-hmm. Everybody's been real nice.
Well, that's because you have big jugs. I mean, your boobs are huge. I mean, I want to squeeze them. Oh. Mama!
Sucking like a baby. He emerges from the lift clutching a sore eye. Later, outside the court building, he passes a beggar in the street.
Any change, mister?
Absolutely!
Could you spare some?
Yes, I could!
Will ya?
How come? Because I believe you will buy booze with it. I just want to get from my car to the office without being confronted by the decay of Western society. Plus, I'm cheap! Jerk off!
Fletcher scurries up the steps into the building and unintentionally slams open the courtroom door. A sober-looking security guard looks him up and down. Fletcher straightens his tie and moves towards his counsel seat next to the ever-glamorous Mrs. Cole. He struggles with the lock on his briefcase and finally hammers it open with his fist, before cricking the tension out of his neck and carefully looking over his brief.
You look like you're having a rough morning.
Ding, ding, ding!
What do we have for her, Johnny?
Mr. Cole's counsel.
Fletcher.
Dana!
All right, Samantha. How much will it take to put an end to all this?
50% of your estate.
50%? With a prenup and proof of adultery? What's your case?
Our case is simply this.
Fletcher struggles to get his words out.
Very funny, Fletcher. You want to play hardball? I'm game.
You want to play hardball? I'm game.
What are you doing? What is wrong with you?
All rise for the Honorable Judge Marshall Stevens.
Honorable.
Good morning. Call case number BD09395. Samantha Cole versus Richard Cole. How are we doing this morning, counsel?
Fine, thank you.
And you, Mr. Reed?
I'm a little upset about a bad sexual episode I had last night.
Judge Stevens looks unamused.
Well, you're still young. It'll happen more and more. In the meantime, what do you say we get down to business? First, Mr. Reed, I see where your client...
Your Honor, I would like a continuance!
This case has already been delayed several times, Mr. Reed.
I realize that, Your Honor, but I would really, really, really like a continuance!
I'll have to hear good cause, counsel. What's the problem?
All eyes on Fletcher as he contorts his mouth in the fight for expression.
I can't lie!
Commendable, Mr. Reed, but I'm still waiting to hear good cause. Now, do you have one or not?
Not!
Motion for continuance denied. Is there any chance of a settlement in this case?
I don't think so, Your Honor. My client has already offered Mrs. Cole $2.4 million, but Mr. Reed has made it abundantly clear that he has no desire...
Settle! Settle, 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 settle!
I don't want to settle. Mr. Reed, you convinced me yesterday. I'm the victim here. I'm starved for affection. I'm driven into the arms of another man.
Seven!
Yeah, whatever. With the story you came up with, I don't think we can lose. I want to proceed.
Mrs. Cole,
don't understand.
Mr. Reed, do we have a settlement?
No!
He tears at his hair in a bid for self-control.
There's no settlement. Trial to commence 1:30 sharp.
Fletcher quickly stuffs his papers into his briefcase and hurries out of the courtroom before freaking out outside the door. Emerging from the office lift, the occupants waving newspapers and holding their noses.
It was me!
The goofy receptionist.
Hi, Mr. Reed! Like the new dress?
Whatever it takes to focus off your head!
The obese work colleague.
What's up, Fletcher?
Your cholesterol!
Howdy!
Dead man walking!
Hey, Fletcher!
Hey, you're not important enough to remember!
What's it gonna be, Mr. Reed?
A pockmark, eventually! Don't ask!
For God's sakes, don't ask!
All right, you can beat this. It's all a matter of willpower.
A test. Something small.
A blue pen sits on his desk.
Red. Red. All right, now focus. The color of this pen is... The color of this pen is the color of the pen that I hold in my hand is royal blue.
Flopping back in his chair.
I'm lying, I can't say it.
Fletcher scribbles on a notepad. This pen is... but falters on the next word. The ensuing fight with his writing hand causes him to push everything from the top of his desk onto the floor. His hand snakes wildly in the air before he grabs it with his other hand and forces it down on the desk. It flaps around like a live fish until he kneels on it with all his weight.
Write it! Write it or I'll break it off!
The hand writes the word blue on the desktop.
Ah, no! Come on!
Stop it!
The hand turns on him and points the pen towards his face. Fletcher grabs it with his other hand as the rogue hand pushes closer and closer. Fletcher's secretary bursts in.
Boss? What happened?
Fletcher's face emerges graffitied with the word blue.
The pen is blue. The pen is blue!
Mr. Reed, are you all right?
I gotta go home.
Home? Was the case settled?
No, I have to be in court at 1:30!
Well, then how are you going to go home?
I don't know! I don't know!
Okay, Mr. Reed, Reuben Dunn called. They need to know where the Darvis settlement offer stands.
I just proposed a settlement to Dick with them.
Dick with them. Got it. And your mother called. Are you still on vacation?
No.
Then you're here?
Yes.
Thank you for clearing that up, sir. And your ex-wife called. She wants to know when you're coming to pick up your son.
Oh, I'm such a shit.
Audrey takes a call while driving Max to school.
Hello?
Audrey?
Fletcher. Hi. Are you still picking Max up from school today?
Here's the thing. I really can't. I had a case I was certain would settle, and it didn't, and I have to go to court this afternoon.
Right.
It's true. I really want to see Max today. How about that? I really do.
Uh-huh, but things just keep coming up at the last minute, right?
Yes, but this time it's different.
I see. And how is that?
Now I'm telling the truth.
And last night you weren't.
No.
Well, what were you doing?
Having sex.
Well, I hope that it was with someone very special.
No, see, that's the thing. I don't even like her, but she's a partner, and I thought I could help my career by making her squeal.
He throws away the phone.
Ugh.
What's wrong with me? I'm getting what I deserve. I'm reaping what I sow. I'm...
Stopping his mouth with his hands. Audrey drops off Max at school.
Is Dad still picking me up?
No, Max, he's not. I'm sorry. But I'm gonna pick you up, okay? I'll work it out.
I guess my wish didn't come true.
What wish?
I wish that for just one day Dad couldn't tell a lie.
Max heads glumly towards the school gate. Audrey walks after him.
Max?
I have something important I want to talk to you about, okay?
Later, as Audrey drives home in her car, Fletcher rings her from his smashed office phone.
Hello?
Audrey! Let me explain. Something has happened to me.
Well, something else is about to happen to you, Fletcher. Max and I are moving to Boston.
What?
Jerry has asked me to marry him, and Max and I are going with him this weekend to look at some houses.
I thought it was semi-serious.
Yeah, well, it's just been given a violent shove into serious.
You can't move to Boston. I'll never see Max.
Well, then you'll have pretty much the same relationship you have with him now, won't you?
Where are you?
I'm going home.
When you get there, just stay there. I'm coming over. We have to talk.
Fletcher.
I'll be right there.
Fletcher runs down the corridor with his fingers in his ears. As the lift doors open, he sees Miranda.
Fletcher.
Holy hell!
He dashes off down the 21st floor fire escape.
You can run, but you can't hide.
Fletcher powers out of the building in his car, throwing a busy street into turmoil.
What's your problem, schmuck? I'm an inconsiderate prick! Ah!
He accelerates away, snaking in and out of cars like a crazed rally driver. After checking his watch, he drives even faster. At a red light, he carries on over the crossing, narrowly missing several other cars. A traffic cop sees him and gives chase on his motorbike. Fletcher pulls into the side of the road, the traffic cop close behind.
Shit!
Fletcher hands the cop his driver's license and fights to keep control of his mouth.
You know why I pulled you over?
Depends on how long you were following me.
Why don't we just take it from the top?
Here goes. I sped. I followed too closely. I ran a stop sign. I almost hit a Chevy. I sped some more. I failed to yield at a crosswalk. I changed lanes in the intersection. I changed lanes without signaling while running a red light and speeding!
Is that all?
No.
I have unpaid parking tickets.
He pops open the glove compartment.
Be gentle.
Later, Fletcher arrives at Audrey's house in a taxi.
Audrey, wait!
Throwing notes at the cab driver.
Wait. I just had an insight into myself. I'm crazy. You call me up and say, wait right there. I'll be right over. And here's the crazy part. I actually wait.
I can explain this, though.
I have missed a department meeting. Did you come here in a cab?
Yes.
Where's your car?
At the county impound.
Thank you. I can't tell you how much this means to me.
I can. $1,654.11.
How do you sleep at night?
Stealing the official's pine freshener.
I'm taking this.
Another official burns up to the office in Fletcher's silver convertible.
You scratched my car!
Where?
Right there!
Oh, there. That's already there.
You! You liar! You know what I'm gonna do about this?
What?
Nothing! Because if I take you to small claims court, it'll just drain 8 hours out of my life, and you probably won't show up. And if I finally got the judgment, you'd just stiff me anyway. So what I'm gonna do is piss and moan like an impotent jerk, and then bend over and take it up the tailpipe!
You've been here before, haven't you?
Well, I can't remember when I've had more fun, but if you'll excuse me, I have a class.
Are you marrying this guy because you're mad at me?
No, I divorced you because I was mad at you.
Audrey, wait, I want to talk about this.
Really, what do you want to say?
Is this guy right for you? I mean, he's just so... not me!
Yes, that's one of his best qualities.
Yeah, but he's kind of... I'm sorry.
You're wrong. I mean, sometimes, maybe, yes, he is a little bit...
Magoo!
Yes, but since we've been going out... Oh, my God, I'm not having this conversation with you.
Audrey, you can't go. This is not fair.
Fair? Okay, let's define fair, shall we? Last night, a 5-year-old boy was crushed because his father lied to him about coming to his birthday party. Fair?
Last night?
Was none of my business.
Thank you.
None of my business. 2 years ago, it was my business. But see, I don't have to care about that anymore. I don't care. That's the magic of divorce. But it matters to Max. Everything you do matters to Max, and everything you don't do.
All right, now let me tell you something. I'm a bad father. I mean,
I'm a bad father.
You're not a bad father. When you show up.
What if I come over right after court lets out and play ball with Max? Then you and I can sit down and talk before you make any rash decisions.
No, we are leaving tonight.
Please, Audrey, give me one more chance. I'm throwing myself on the mercy of the court. I lost you, but please, don't make me lose Max, too. Give me a chance to be the father I started out to be.
You're really coming?
This is ironclad. This is the mother of all promises. What time?
Okay. 6.
10 to 6.
All right. But if I tell Max that you're coming and you don't show up, and I have to see that look on his face, that heartbreaking look, we're going to Boston.
If I don't show up, I'll pack you myself. I will lovingly wrap your knickknacks with bubble paper.
I hope so. Do you know what your son was doing at 8:15 last night? He was making a birthday wish that for just one day, his father couldn't tell a lie.
As Audrey drives away, it suddenly dawns on him.
Oh my God, that's it!
I do not like them, Sam I Am. I do not like green eggs and ham. Would you like them here or there? I would not like
them.
Excuse
me. Hi, I'm Max's bad father. I'm his father.
Dad!
Could I borrow him for just one second? Monster Max!
Godzilla, you can't play catch?
I'd like to, but I can't right now. Max, I gotta talk to you. Your mommy told me about that wish you made last night. It came true, Max.
Really? You mean you have to tell the truth?
Yes!
No matter what?
No matter what!
Is wrestling real?
In the Olympics, yes. On Channel 23, no.
Will sitting too close to the TV set make me go blind?
Not in a million years.
If I keep making this face, will it get stuck that way?
Uh-uh. In fact, some people make a good living that way.
Out in the school playground.
Now listen, Max. You gotta do something for me. I need you to take back that wish.
So you can lie?
Yes. But not to you. You see, Max, sometimes grown-ups need to lie. It's hard to explain, but if... Look, here's a good example. When your mommy was pregnant with you, she gained a good 40 pounds. There was nothing she wouldn't eat, and Daddy was scared. But when she'd ask me how do I look, I'd say, honey, you look great. You're beautiful. You're glowing. If I'd have told mommy she looked like a cow, it would have hurt her feelings. Understand?
My teacher tells me real beauty's on the inside.
That's just something ugly people say. Max, no one can survive in the adult world if they have to stick to the truth. I could lose my case, I could lose my promotion, I could even lose my job. Now, I need your help, Max, okay?
Okay.
Okay, now do whatever you did last night. Only this time, make it an unwish.
Fletcher slides yet another birthday cake towards Max, who ponders a candle shaped like the number 5 and blows.
I did it.
Excellent! Now I just need a little test.
Fletcher walks over to an attractive schoolteacher who reassures a weepy little boy. She responds to his repartee by slapping him across the face. Clutching his stinging cheek, Fletcher retreats back to Max.
Did it work?
Not like I'd hoped. Did you unwish it?
Only...
What? Only what?
Yesterday, when I wished it, I really meant it. This time, when I unwished it, I only did it because you told me to.
All right. Then do it again, and this time, mean it.
But I can't.
Why not?
Because I don't want you to lie.
I explained this. I have to lie. Everybody lies. Mommy lies. Even the wonderful Jerry lies.
But you're the only one that makes me feel bad.
Max, recess is over. Come on in.
Fletcher looks devastated as Max returns to school.
Mom says we're moving to Boston.
That isn't for sure yet. She promised we'd talk about it when I come over tonight. I am coming. You believe me, don't you, Max? I'll see you later, buddy.
Fletcher despondently thumps the table and accidentally flattens the cake. later emerging from the office lift.
Yo, Fletcher, how's it hanging?
Short, shriveled, and always to the left.
Fletcher trudges along the corridor past his secretary.
Boss, it's Skull. He knocked over another ATM, this time at knife point. He needs your legal advice.
Shouting down the phone.
Stop breaking the law, asshole!
The secretary follows him into his office. He lies back on his executive sofa, covering his eyes with his arm.
Boss, are you all right?
My son hates me.
Max loves you. I've seen you together. You're his hero.
Oh, yeah? Last night at his birthday party, he made a wish that I wouldn't be able to lie for one whole day.
Kids.
It came true.
What?
Max's wish. It came true.
Miranda listens at the door.
Boss, maybe you should just take a few days off.
Greta, didn't it seem weird to you that I kept telling the truth all morning?
Yeah, but... What are you saying, that you are incapable of lying?
That's right! I am incapable of lying!
Just for today.
Apparently till 8:15 tonight. It's one of those 24-hour curses.
Yeah, those are going around.
You don't believe me, do you?
Of course not.
How ironic. Okay. Ask me something you think I would normally lie about.
All right. Remember a couple of months ago when I wanted a raise?
Forget it. I don't want to do this.
And the company wouldn't give me one. And Greta, I asked you if you would give it to me out of your own pocket. And you said the company would not allow it because it would create jealousy among the other secretaries. Now, was that true or did you just not want to pony up the dough?
Later, Greta starts packing.
Greta, please! Hello, Judge Stevens, hi! Fletcher Reed, I'm scheduled to be in your court in half an hour. Judge Stevens, I badly, badly need a continuance. Ill? Am I ill? That is the perfect question for you to ask. Greta, please lie on for me!
I remember when you bought me this antique silver frame from Tiffany's. Tiffany's?
Garage sale, $6.50 marked down from 10.
I'll give you the raise!
Here's your raise.
The finger.
Hi, Judge Stevens. Yes, I know I haven't given you an answer yet, but illness could mean so many things. Can you hold?
Hello?
Mom! Hi! I wasn't really on vacation. Because I didn't want to talk to you. Because you insist on talking to me about Dad's bowel movement, size, color, frequency. I'll call you later.
Oh, damn it! I cut him off. I cut off the judge!
He tries to harakiri himself with a phone receiver.
Oh, Greta, don't leave! I'm on my knees in a $900 suit!
Mr. Reed, several years ago, a friend of mine had a burglar on her roof. A burglar. He fell through the kitchen skylight, landed on a cutting board on a butcher's knife, cutting his leg. The burglar sued my friend. He sued my friend, and because of guys like you, he won. My friend had to pay the burglar $6,000. Is that justice?
No. I'd have got him 10.
Goodbye, Mr. Reed.
No, no, no! Wait! I didn't understand the question! Ask me again! Ask me again!
Have a nice day in court!
Greta!
Miranda.
Hi. God in heaven!
It's nice to see you too, Fletcher. Are you busy?
Extremely.
Good. Would you follow me, please?
He peels himself off the floor and follows her.
Did you know that the partnership committee is being headed up by Mr. Allen himself?
Mm-hmm.
You used to work directly for Mr. Allen, didn't you?
Yeah.
Tell me, what do you think of him?
He's a pedantic, pontificating, pretentious bastard, a belligerent old fart, a worthless, steaming pile of cow dung, figuratively speaking.
Really? How delightful. This way.
The boardroom.
Pardon me for interrupting your meeting. Mr. Allen, you remember Fletcher Reed?
Yes, yes. Nice to see you again, Fletcher. By the way, I'll be observing you in court this afternoon. I've been hearing some good things about you.
Well, Fletcher has just been telling me how much he thinks of you. Well, why don't you tell Mr. Allen? Well, what do you think of him?
As Mr. Allen watches with expectation, Fletcher shrugs helplessly.
He's a pedantic, pontificating, pretentious bastard. A belligerent old fart, a worthless, steaming pile of cow dung. Figuratively speaking.
A tense silence as all eyes turn to Mr. Allen.
That's the funniest damn thing I've ever heard. You're a real card, Reed. I love a good roast. Do Simmons.
Simmons is old. He should have been out of the game years ago, but he can't stay home because he hates his wife. You've met her at the Christmas parties. She's the one that gets plastered and calls him a retard. And you, Tom, you're the biggest brown nose I've ever seen. You've got your head so far up Mr. Allen's ass, I can't tell where you end and he begins.
Priceless.
You have bad breath caused by gingivitis. You couldn't get a porn star off. Your hairpiece looks like something that was killed crossing the highway. I don't know whether to comb it or scrape it off with a shovel and bury it in the line. Loser! Idiot! Wimp! Degenerate!
Miranda's jaw drops.
I like your style, Reed. That's just what this stubby company needs. A little irreverence.
Good! I'll see you later, dickhead!
Fletcher rips off the executive's toupee and sticks it on the wall like an Indian scalp. In the uproar, he laughs as loud as he can into Miranda's unamused ear before taking his leave.
Oh, keep your eye on that boy. Dickhead!
Fletcher faints on the corridor floor. Later at 1:30 p.m., Fletcher slouches catatonically in his seat at court. Mr. Cole and his counsel look on with bemusement.
Third District Court is now in session. The Honorable Judge Marshall Stevens presiding.
Afternoon, counselors. Are we ready to begin?
No, sir! We are not ready to begin because my client has not arrived!
Hurry up! Move it, move it!
Here she comes to wreck the day!
History!
Sorry, Your Honor.
Come here. Go, go, go. And Lupe, you keep those kids quiet. I'm not even close to kidding. Sorry. Billy threw up in the car.
You brought your kids to your divorce?
Sympathy.
Well, it's working. I feel sorry for them already.
Ms. Appleton, you may begin.
From March 6 through June 12, I surveilled Mrs. Cole at the behest of Mr. Cole. During that period, I noted that Mr. Cole left each day between 7:40 and 7:50. Thereafter, Mrs. Cole would frequently have a male visitor arrive and stay from 1 to 4 hours. I was able to take several photographs of the male visitor.
I see. Do you know what Mrs. Cole and her male visitor did during these frequent visits?
Well, they were pretty good about keeping the shades drawn, but I was able to make a recording of one such session.
Your Honor, as you are aware, under the terms of the prenuptial agreement, if Mrs. Cole commits adultery, she is entitled to nothing. With your permission, we'd like to play the following tape recording.
Proof that the male voice on that tape is not Mr. Cole himself.
You're such a better lover than my husband. Oh, my...
Your Honor, I object!
And why is that, Mr. Reed?
Because it's devastating to my case.
Overruled.
Good call!
I gotta go. I still haven't cleaned your pool.
You're a witness.
Well, Mr. Reed, you may proceed.
Fletcher strokes his chin in a festival of procrastination. He reaches for his umpteenth glass of water and spills some onto his expensive suit. He moves towards the center of the courtroom and approaches the witness, preening and smoothing himself in the search for a way out. Suddenly, to Fletcher's great relief, nature presents him with an instant solution.
Your Honor, would the court be willing to grant me a short bathroom break?
Can it wait?
Yes, it can. But I've heard that if you hold it, you can damage the prostate gland, making it very difficult to get an erection or even become aroused.
Is that true?
It has to be.
Well, in that case, I better take a little break myself. But you get back here immediately so we can finish this.
Fletcher leaps over a low-lying wooden gate and dashes out of the courtroom to the bemused muttering of the assembled public. In the bathroom, he leans forward against a urinal and stares up at the high ceiling.
How am I going to get out of this?
Banging his head on the marbled wall.
Think. 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 Owie! Owie!
Fletcher zips up his fly, hurries across to the mirror and starts hitting himself around the face. Next, he rubs liquid soap from a dispenser into both his eyes. A flabbergasted man watches as Fletcher tears at the sleeves of his suit, writhes at his hair, and smacks his knee against a radiator. Next, he knocks the swivel top off a bin and empties all the used paper hand towels over his head. He rolls across the floor and hits his head against a toilet bowl before slamming down the wooden toilet seat again and again on the side of his rubbery face. Finally, to the astonishment of the transfixed onlooker, he emerges from the cubicle and stamps on his own foot.
What the hell are you doing?
I'm kicking my ass! Do you mind?
As the man makes a speedy exit, Fletcher drags himself by the tie and hurls himself repeatedly against the wall. With one final thwack, he falls unconscious on the floor. Back in the courtroom, Mrs. Cole sits powdering her nose while the judge and Counselor Appleton impatiently look at their watches. Suddenly, a security guard drags in a battered-looking Fletcher.
I found him like this in the bathroom, Your Honor. Somebody beat the hell out of him.
Who did this?
A madman, Your Honor! A desperate fool at the end of his pitiful rope!
What did he look like?
About 6'2", 180 pounds, big teeth, kind of gangly.
Bailiff? Have the deputy search the building.
Yes, sir.
Order. Order. Under the circumstances, I have no choice but to recess this case until 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. Unless, of course, you feel you can still proceed. Can you?
Fletcher contorts his face in the attempt to stifle his reply.
I
admire your courage, Mr. Reed. We'll take a short recess so that you can compose yourself, and then we'll get started.
Later, outside the court building, a disheveled-looking Fletcher lies sprawled on the approaching steps. A passing woman places a dollar bill into his hand. He studies it and slips it into his pocket. His cell phone startles him, and he reaches into his jacket to answer.
Hello?
Dad?
Max? How's it going?
Great. You know Paul and Emmanuel from across the street?
Yeah?
Well, they never want to play baseball with me, but I told them I'm playing tonight with my dad, so now they want to play with us. Is that okay?
Sure. The more the merrier.
Cool. Still want to be Jose Canseco?
Oh, yeah. Who else is going to hit that famous Nomo slider?
Mr. Reed.
I got to go now, Max. I'll see you in a couple hours, okay? All right, bye.
Bye, Dad. He's really coming! He's really coming! I'm gonna go change!
Hey, go ahead.
Yeah!
Mrs. Cole stands waiting with her beefcake companion.
Mr. Reed. This is my lawyer. He's a little unorthodox. You get used to him. Mr. Reed, you remember Kenneth Fogg, the man from the tape?
How could I forget?
Hey, how you doing?
I've slipped into the seventh circle of hell. Thank you.
You?
Shouldn't we be going over our testimony right now?
Basically, the plan is I walk you through the tape. Step by step, I ask you questions.
Right, and we give you the explanation you came up with.
Exactly.
So all we gotta do is lie. That sounds simple enough.
Doesn't it? Then I'll finish up with a dramatic series of questions. Something like, Mr. Falk, isn't it true that you and Mrs. Cole have never made a la 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 la?
Fletcher turns away and leans against a pillar.
I can't do it. I can't finish the question if I know the answer is a lie.
Falk and Mrs. Cole throw each other uncomprehending looks. Back in the courtroom, Fletcher chews his thumbnail in mute desperation.
You may proceed, Mr. Reed.
Floundering with expectant eyes upon him, Fletcher slowly gathers himself together and stands up to speak.
Respondent calls Kenneth Falk.
Beefcake Falk swaggers across the room to the stand where he's sworn in by a burly officer of the court. Meanwhile, Miranda and Mr. Allen scrutinize Fletcher's progress from the public benches.
Raise your right hand. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do! I mean...
Pointing at Falk.
I do.
With his hands in his pockets, Fletcher shuffles towards the stand.
Mr. Falk! Do you know my client, Samantha Cole?
Yes.
Isn't it true that your relationship with my client is entirely platonic? I object, Your Honor!
To yourself?
Yeah. But I would like to rephrase the question. Mr. Falk, would I be accurate if I described your relationship with Mrs. Cole as totally professional? I object, Your Honor, and I move to strike!
Mr. Reed, I don't know what you're on, but you better get to the point and quick.
Thank you, sir.
Miranda and Mr. Allen exchange bemused glances.
Is your relationship with my client entirely platonic? Not! Is not your relationship with my client, boy! Bad baby, bad baby! Did you ever not make love? Did you?
Mr. Reed!
You had sex with her every time you met, didn't you? Didn't you? Liar!
He's badgering the witness.
It's his witness.
You slammed her, you dumped her donut, you gave her dog a sausage. You stuffed her like a Thanksgiving turkey.
All right, it's true, okay? I humped her brains out. There, now you happy?
Fletcher grinds to a simpering halt.
No further questions.
Fletcher closes his eyes as he trudges back to his seat in defeat and smacks his forehead onto the desk. The judge gestures to Appleton to continue.
No questions.
You may step down. Do I dare ask you to call your next witness?
A paper sticks to his forehead.
I have no further witnesses, Your Honor.
What are you doing? Call me.
You do not understand. I can't lie. I can't do anything dishonest until 8:15 tonight.
Listen, you bastard. I want my money. I am not going to end up a 31-year-old divorcee on welfare because my scumbag attorney had a sudden attack of conscience.
31.
If Mr. Reed has no further witnesses, then I have no choice but to rule in favor of...
Your Honor! I call Samantha Cole to the stand.
Order. Order! Order!
Knock it off!
Sit down! Mr. Reed, it is out of sheer morbid curiosity I'm allowing this freak show to continue. Mrs. Cole, if you dare,
Mrs. Cole swings her generous, miniskirted hips as she slinks her way to the stand. Mr. Cole and Appleton brace themselves for whatever comes next. Fletcher waves a piece of paper in the air.
Mrs. Cole, is this a copy of your driver's license?
Yes.
It says here you're a blonde, are you? If you don't remember, perhaps Mr. Falk will.
Brunette.
We can play the tape again. Maybe it's on there.
I'm a brunette.
Thank you. Now let's see. Weight 105? Yeah, in your bra.
Your Honor, I object.
You would.
Bastard!
Hey!
Quiet! Overruled. Weight.
118. All right, fine. I'm 127.
Uh-huh. And it says here you were born in 1964, but that's not true either, is it? Is it?
No.
Can you tell me what it says here on your birth certificate under date of birth?
Your Honor, I object. What does this have to do with anything?
Overruled. Mrs. Cole, answer the question.
1965.
Now, let me get this straight. That would mean that you lied about your age to make yourself older. But why would any woman want to do that?
I changed it so I could get married.
And the truth shall set you free! My client lied about her age. She was only 17 when she got married, which makes her a minor. And in the great state of California, no minor can enter into any legal contract without parental consent, including...
prenuptial agreement.
Prenuptial agreements! This contract is void. The fact that my client has been ridden more than Seattle Slough is irrelevant. Standard community property applies, and she is entitled to half of the marital assets, or $11.395 million. Jordan fades back. Swoosh. And that's the game! Nothing further, Your Honor.
Appleton snaps her pencil in anger as Fletcher smugly soaks up the applause.
Order! In light of this new evidence, the court must rule in favor of Mrs. Cole. She is hereby awarded half the marital assets.
Ah! The son of a bitch pulled it off! I didn't know she was underage.
Doesn't matter, the contract's void.
Order! Order! I understand both parties have agreed to joint custody, is that correct?
Yes.
Yes!
No! I'm contesting custody.
What?
If I get sole custody of the kids, that's another 10 grand in child support payments.
You just won $11 million!
Hey, I'm the victim here. You said it yourself. Now I'm gonna hit him where it hurts.
But you said he was a good father.
So?
Well, Mr. Reed, do we have an agreement on custody or not?
No.
I see. In that case, there will be a custody hearing on the 19th at 9 a.m. Court is adjourned.
Fletcher stands dumbstruck as Mrs. Cole swaggers out and snatches her kids from the nanny.
Come on, let's go.
Daddy!
You stop that whining or I'll give you something to whine about.
I
want to
go, Daddy.
Oh, come here, kids. Come on. It's all right. Don't you worry. Promise we'll be together, whatever I have to do.
Lumi.
It's okay.
Oh, for God's sake, will you give me those? They're mine. Let go of Daddy. Let go of him. Let go of Daddy. We're leaving now. Lupe, come on. Don't you have some checks to write? You haven't paid for them yet.
Fletcher wears a pained expression as he watches the children being dragged away from their loving father, left kneeling on the courtroom floor. Mr. Allen approaches with Miranda to congratulate him.
I love children. They give you so much leverage in a case like this. You did an incredible job, partner.
He blankly shakes Allen's hand.
Look at him. He's stunned. He can't believe it.
He snatches it back.
Your Honor! May I please approach the bench?
We're adjourned, Mr. Reed.
Your Honor, I think we've made a big mistake.
Mr. Reed, I am tired and very cranky.
I know, but this is just wrong, isn't it? I manipulated the system. Just because you bought it doesn't mean I'm right. It's a technicality.
Young man, having my judgment mocked in my own court is not something I'm prepared to tolerate.
Well, maybe you can tell that to the kids when they're adopted. By the Manson family!
One more word out of you, Mr. Reed, and I'll hold you in contempt.
I hold myself in contempt! Why should you be any different?
Bennett, take him away.
This man is a good father, and children are not leverage. Oh, no, don't do that. I have a date to play ball with my son. I can't be late. It's my last chance. I'm a Reagan psycho. I'm a Reagan psycho.
Fletcher is taken into custody.
Phone call! Phone call! I get a phone call! I get a phone call! I get a phone call!
Hello?
Audrey, it's me. For the love of God, don't hang up.
I can't talk to you right now. Our flight leaves at 8 o'clock.
What?
I am taking Max someplace where you can't do this to him anymore.
Audrey, wait. The most amazing thing is happening to me. I swear I'm a changed man. Just come to the courthouse with $1,000 and bail me out. Hello? Hello?
Time's up, pal.
No, just one more call. Just one more call. I can't see it.
Okay, let's go. Ready?
Yeah.
Yeah? You get the door, please.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mr. Reed? You made bail.
Greta! Oh, thank God!
Am I too late? Have you been sexually molested yet? Because I could circle the block.
Outside the court building.
How did you know I was here?
One of the other secretaries called me at home. Said you went all noble in front of Mr. Allen.
Yeah, I think I'm fired. Isn't that great? Maybe I'll start my own firm. You need a job?
I don't think you can afford me.
They embrace.
Oh, man, I gotta get my car. Audrey's on her way to the airport. I'm gonna lose Max forever. I can't let that happen. I love him! You know, this truth stuff is pretty cool. I love my son! I love my son! I love my son! I love my son! Hey, need some change? Take everything!
To the mega.
But it's not gonna make you happy! I love my son! I love my son! I love my son!
Jerry at the airport.
Hey, there you are!
Hi.
Just in time! Oh, this is the happiest moment of my entire life.
Oh. Well, mine. Well, ours. Also.
Hey, Gipper! I have something for you, young man. Ooh, watch yourself, it's the claw! Ooh, the claw's coming at you. Ooh, you're scared of the claw. You're scared of the claw. Ooh!
Jerry.
Huh?
It's okay, you don't have to.
Tower Air, flight 1511 to Boston is now boarding.
Oop, that's us.
Yeah.
Ready to go?
Yes. You ready? Okay.
Great.
Fletcher arrives at departures, parks, and leaps out of his silver convertible.
Excuse me! What gate is flight 1511 leaving from? It's an emergency!
Gate number 123, but you'll never make it. Flight's already boarding. It takes more than a half hour to get through security. If you want to go to Boston, there's another flight leaving tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. Flight number 120.
He leaps onto the baggage conveyor belt unnoticed. Meanwhile, on the plane, Audrey struggles with a bag of nuts.
Los Angeles to Boston's Logan Airport. We'll be departing shortly. If you need help in stowing your carry-on items...
Honey, can I help you
with
those?
I'm fine.
Are you sure?
Jerry, I can open the bag.
Would you like anything to drink before takeoff?
Yes, anything with alcohol, please.
Audrey?
The bag splits, showering them with nuts.
We will be running the safety video.
How about that drink?
A baggage train emerges from the terminal building and heads for the planes. A large holdall drops off the last wagon onto the ground, and Fletcher fights his way out of it onto the tarmac. He looks up to see that Audrey and Max's plane has already left from gate 123 and taxiing towards the runway, so he sprints after them as fast as he can.
Max! Max!
He steals a stairway vehicle. A mechanic works beneath.
Well, that ought to do it.
Fletcher drives off the ramp.
Hey! Max, it's running free!
He chases the taxiing plane along the runway.
Hey!
Archer fixes the stairway vehicle on its course level with a fuselage, and as it tears along the tarmac at high speed, climbs up the stairs towards the aircraft's closed door. Fletcher grabs the joystick at the top of the stairway, and the steps extend upwards, drawing his face level with the aircraft windows. The stairway vehicle gathers more speed as Fletcher peers in and searches from window to window.
Max! Max, where are you?
Jerry watches intently as Audrey downs a glass of alcohol.
I love you.
Thank you.
That wasn't exactly the answer I was looking for.
Thank you very much.
Jerry throws a rejected schoolboy look.
I'm sorry. It's just...
Too fast? It was too fast, wasn't it?
No, it's...
Chemistry? Whatever it is, we can work on it.
No.
Oh my God, it's Fletcher.
No, this has nothing to do with Fletcher.
It's Fletcher.
What? Dad?
I made it! I'm late, but I made it!
What is he doing?
Came to see us off.
Wait. I won't let you go!
Fletcher opens the throttle to its maximum and ducks under the wing of the plane, just missing the heat of the engine exhaust.
Control 19, this is Tower 1511 Heavy, ready for takeoff.
Fletcher hurls a shoe at the cockpit.
What was that?
Looked like a shoe.
Pull over! Pull this thing over!
Control 19, some idiot has hijacked a flight of stairs. We're gonna stop this plane.
19, control, we got it.
The plane grinds to a sudden halt, but Fletcher speeds on. The vehicle smashes into a runway barrier, and Fletcher is catapulted through the air to land in a baggage wagon. The driver is so startled that he crashes into another baggage train heading the other way. Fletcher peeps out from beneath a tumble-down heap of suitcases, and the strap from one of the bags comically distorts his rubbery face. Fletcher loses consciousness. Later, as night falls, a stretcher crew lift Fletcher into an ambulance.
We're all doing a wonderful job!
That's far enough, folks.
Yeah, he's my husband. He was my husband.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, Max, you stay here with Jerry, and I'll be right back, okay?
She hurries to join Fletcher.
I got two more.
Audrey! Fletcher!
Great news! Both my legs are broken, so they can't take me right to jail.
Fletcher, what were you doing? Are you out of your mind?
No! I'm thinking clear. I've never been this close.
Dad?
Creep. I was getting kind of upset.
Are you all right?
Yeah. I'm hurting here, though. I'm a dope, Max. All this time you've been here, and I could see you anytime I felt like it, but I didn't. Then your mom told me you were moving to Boston, and I started thinking I could be sitting around sometime and want to look at you and hold you and play with you. And I won't be able to. I don't think I'm gonna do too well with that. I love you more than anything else in the world, Max. And you know it's true. I couldn't say it if it wasn't true. Not today. I love you. And I'll never hurt you again.
He's telling the truth, Mom. He's not allowed to lie. I made a wish and anything Dad says today has to be the truth.
Max! It's 8:45. We made the wish at 8:15. I've been able to lie for the last half hour.
So you were?
No, it was the truth! I just wanted to be honest with you. I always want to be honest with you.
Max ponders his father's words and turns to his mother standing next to Jerry.
Mom, do we have to go to Boston?
Audrey looks anxiously at Jerry.
No, Max. You don't have to go. I, on the other hand, do have to. A hospital to run. That's an open-ended ticket if you ever change your mind.
Thank you.
She kisses him on the cheek.
Looks like he's got his father back.
Max and Fletcher hug each other fondly. 1 year later.
Happy birthday, dear Maximus. Happy birthday to you.
Okay, Max, make a wish.
Wait. I don't know if we should do this.
Oh, Fletcher, come on. What are the odds of that happening again?
Yeah, guess you're right. Okay, Max, go ahead.
As the candles go out, the room is plunged into darkness, so Max reaches for the light switch.
Mom? Dad?
As the lights come on, he sees Fletcher and Audrey kissing tenderly, with long-forgotten longing. They look at each other, when it suddenly dawns on Fletcher.
Max? Did you wish for your mom and I to get back together again?
No, I wish for rollerblades.
Audrey smiles back at him.
Do you want to cut the cake? Dad?
I'd love to. But I have this horrible pain in my arm.
Oh, no, it's the claw! What?
No one can stop the claw! No one can stop it!
If I was a boxer, I would bounce those things like Sugar Ray Leonard. I'm sorry. Brought your kids to your divorce?
Sympathy.
Well, it's working. I feel sorry for them already. For this, you will pay a terrible price. Well, it's working. I feel sorry for them already. Mrs. Cole!
A goose!
Including...
prenuptial agreements.
I'd have gotten 10.
Goodbye, Mr. Reed.
No, wait! I didn't understand. Let's see. Weight, 105? Yeah, in your bra.
Your Honor, I object.
You would!
Overactor!
Jazz up! Yeah, sure he did. Oh, no. They're on to me!